Welcome to this AAT podcast, the third in the series for the 2010-11 payroll year-end returns. In the first two, I looked at submitting the annual PAYE returns, the P35, the P14s, and P38A, also reminding you about the P38S student employees return that must be completed and retained for 3 years, but does not need to be submitted to HMRC. In this podcast, I want to cover some of the other aspects that were covered in the CPD master courses, although a podcast can never provide you with the same amount of detail or the ability to ask the many questions that members from the AAT ask me on the day of the course. At the outset, let me remind you of some of the most important points covered so far, beginning with the annual return submission and the payment deadlines. The deadline for payment of any outstanding PAYE income tax, Class 1 NICs, student loan deductions, or construction industry scheme deductions is the 19th or 22nd of April 2011, a month before the statutory deadline of 19th of May 2011 for submitting the PAY returns. It is therefore important that we should be trying to reconcile the payments due for 2010-11 against the payments actually made, and doing this long before the submission deadline, so that any balance in payment can be made on time. Remember that the yellow payslip booklet, sadly changing colour to white for 2011-12, contains an additional payslip to enable us to make any additional balance in payment at the end of the year. I also want to remind you that the statutory deadline for submission of the annual PAY returns, the P35, P14s and P38A, is the 19th of May 2011. And that extra statutory concession B46 ceases to apply from the 31st of March 2011. Therefore, this means that penalties will be charged if we miss that 19th of May 2011 deadline. Clients may need to be told this if they become accustomed to providing the information after the 19th of May. The statutory deadline for issuing a P60 to employees, the end-of-year certificate of paying tax, remains at the 31st of May 2011. But one of the changes this year is that employers can now provide an electronic P60 in place of a paper form, and duplicate P60s no longer need to be marked duplicate. This may be much more convenient to some employers, especially when sending P60s to employees out in the field. HMRC, on its What's New website on the 28th of March 2011, has issued guidance in the form of an easy-to-complete email to help employers and agents notify HMRC if they have no 2010-11 employer annual returns to make. If you click on the link and move down the page, you will see that you have to provide the employer details, including the pay-as-you-earn reference, the employer name, and the postcode of the business address. We also have to provide contact details, including a contact name, full contact telephone or mobile number, and an email address. Next, we have to deal with the employer declaration, where we tick a box to confirm that I have no annual return to make, and then we must tick one of two boxes to confirm that yes, Form P11DB is due, or the box that confirms that no Form P11DB is due. You just have to complete the required details, click on Next, and once you've checked the details are correct, you then click on Submit. And please remember to keep a copy of what you've submitted to HMRC, because that will be your proof that you've told them that an annual return is not required for 2010-11. I suggest that you have a look at this, and it will help you where annual returns are not required. Perhaps where there are no earnings and no P11 deductions working sheets are required, or where the amounts paid were always below the lower earnings limit and there were no tax or NICs deductions. The other day, an AAT member asked me about a director who had drawn salary of £5,000 in the year, an amount which is below the lower earnings limit, and therefore no PAY return is required. Compare that with someone who pays themselves, say, £475 per month, just inside the earnings threshold of £476 a month, so that there's no NICs due to be deducted. But the important point is that this figure exceeds the lower earnings limit, and it is therefore necessary to submit a P35 and a P14, so that the employee or director can obtain a National Insurance Contributions credit which will count towards their future pension entitlement. I am not going to repeat the advice on checks to make of non-standard income tax code numbers and National Insurance category letters, but will just remind you that you can revisit the first Peril Your End podcast to listen to that advice again if you need to. What I now want to move on to is a more in-depth look at some potential PAYE failures that I only touched on in the first podcast.